You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Anne Evanston, and we talk about her relationship. In particular, what we talk about is a pretty dark time in her relationship when, because of what happened, she wasn't actually sure if this relationship was going to continue and survive or not. This is definitely one of those stories where there could be more than one way to tell this story. It could be a super dramatic, gossipy way of telling it, or as we say in Miami, chisme, that's the word for gossip. But I think you'll actually appreciate the honest and pragmatic way that Anne shares the reality of her experience, what happened, and how she moved through it. Now, I didn't give you a whole lot of information there in that introduction, you might have noticed. So you're probably a little bit curious, what in the world happened? So let's get started. Let's do it. Anne Evanston, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here today. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so ready. Thank you, Amy, for having me. I'm super excited about what we're going to talk about today.
That's good. I'm excited too. I start all of my interviews by asking my guests what part of the world they call home. So where is your home these days?
I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, just about 22 miles outside of San Francisco. I've been here. I chased a boy to California. He's part of the story today. I've been here ever since, about 25 years.
Beautiful. I love San Francisco. I have finally conceded to myself that the weather in San Francisco proper, I do not know how to pack for that, and that I am probably better. I just have to consider. I mean, I moved south for the warmth, and I just have to remember it that that's that. I don't even know how to pack for the San Francisco cold and wet. I don't do well with it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So the next, I have one more warm-up question before we get to the topic of the day. We say laughter is the best medicine. Share with me something that you can count on to be smile and joy in your life.
That's almost a hard question because I believe in happiness and joy and laughter in everything I do and be. And if it's not happening, get rid of it fast.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that there aren't hard things in life. That doesn't mean that there aren't difficult challenges that I go through personally, professionally in my life, without a doubt. Yet day-to-day life should be filled with joy and laughter, people who make you laugh and smile. Especially people who remind you not to take yourself too seriously and laugh at yourself. That's probably one of my favorite things every day.
All right. So just general laughter and not taking yourself too seriously. I love that answer. I do. So the topic of the day, we're going to talk about one of those serious things. We're going to talk about a time when you were faced with a decision in your marriage, in your relationship. And you shared with me the start of this story, which is very, very compelling. I'm going to share it. You shared that you got an email asking you if this was your husband. So that came in an email. You say your heart sank because he was exploring meeting other women online. Mm-hmm. My first question for you is, how long ago are we talking about? When was this happened?
Oh, yeah, you think I would know an exact date. I'm going to say over 12 years ago. So
quite a long time.
Yeah, 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to it in present day, but I don't like to be the person who holding up big dramatic things. Part of the story is that this relationship is still in existence. You guys are still in a relationship.
Yes.
This is not a story. There are plenty of those stories that I share, but this is not a story of an end to their relationship. Mm-hmm. So before I go too deep on the actual story of this, I want to just ask a couple of questions to give some concept and some background so that we're all talking about the same thing.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to this one because you gave us a little bit of a preview for this. How did you meet your husband?
Mm-hmm. We met in a bar.
I love it.
When everybody was telling me, you need to go to church to find a good man, we met in a bar. In Seattle at the time, he was going to grad school at University of Washington, and I was employed up in there. And that very night, we just had a connection right from the get-go. So it started right away. We were with each other every chance we could be. He's originally here from the Bay Area. His mother got a call. He was trying to get work up there because we were so attached. But his mother's cancer had come back and he felt like he needed to come home. So he came back here to get work. And I followed about 6 months later. So that's how we originally met.
Very nice. So, and how long had you guys been together when, you don't have to be super precise, but roughly how long had you been together when you got the email when this happened in the relationship?
Yeah, so you know, we did about even moving down here, we did about 8 years of dating, right? And all those kind of things happened before we got serious and moved in together. So, you know, I met him in 1997, just to give you a sense. And then it was about 7 years before this email came that we moved in together and said,
Okay.
we're a couple, we're serious about each other, we're in commitment. It wasn't marriage at that point. We were big believers that commitment isn't a piece of paper. Commitment
Okay.
is a choice. Yet we were living together every day, right? Grocery shopping, paying bills, sharing bank accounts, all the things that a committed couple would do.
Okay, so and that was the sort of the next thing was just a little more information about the construct of your family. Like, are you married? Do you have kids, pets, favorite plants? Like, what's the house look like? As
So it
much or
is,
as little as you want to tell. You don't have to
yes,
just to give us an
sure.
idea.
It is he and I. When we met, he had children from another relationship.
Okay.
So they're very grown, right, in terms of that. He also had two German Shepherds from the Seeing Eye Dog School up here in the Bay Area, or rejects, as they would call them. So very well
Okay.
trained, but just not good enough for the job, if you will, had some quirky habits. And we ended up importing two more German Shepherds. Those were our babies,
Okay.
in terms of choice of children. The biggest thing, probably interesting about our home situation, is we actually live in the home he grew up in.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes. So, you know, with his mom passing, unfortunately, at a very young age, through probate and all of that, the probationary period and all of that, we were gifted the house. It had a fire, and we completely gutted the house. We completely remodeled it to make it our own. And we have a huge yard. We actually have a 9,000 square foot space that we have converted completely to food.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is our 17th year in. We grow food all year, high density year round. So we grow food in the winter, we grow food in the spring and summer. We harvest it. We tell people all the time, I haven't bought a hot sauce, a salsa, a barbecue sauce, an enchilada sauce, you name a sauce. If I can make it from the garden, we make it, we can it, we use that here. So that's our big passion together, is growing the food and
That's
sharing it when there's
spectacular.
abundance and saving
Would
it,
you
yeah.
call that like an urban homestead?
Yeah, urban garden, urban homestead,
Okay.
absolutely.
I
Even our
love
front
that.
yard, so it's fun to watch people walk by and realize there's food growing in the front yard.
That's amazing. One of the I love plants, but very sadly am not very good at growing them. It's actually, it's a joke in my house. I'm good at keeping people and pets alive, thankfully, but every few years, I try it again and I buy plants and I lean into it and have not yet cracked this nugget. My mom is a longtime gardener. And when I was first living on my own, she would come over and resuscitate my like spider plants and aloe. I mean, I like the basics. And one day she said to me, she said, "You know, Aim, some people just buy flowers and when they die, they throw them out." I was m horribly insulted, but I currently have a dead lemon tree down like outside that I'm trying to not be offended that I've yet again had this happen. It's not my strength, but I do. I'm very, very big fan of it as a, but for the moment, I continue to buy my food at the market. Okay, so all right, so You shared with me before we had this conversation on the intake form that you feel like the choice you made as a part of this situation, as a part of this scenario in your relationship, was unpopular and maybe not even normal. Share with us a little bit more about how you decided to do what you did and what it was.
So, when it happened, of course, I'm going to confront it. There's nothing else you can do but confront it. Well, I guess there's other choices. Yet, to me, that was the choice to say, what's going on? Because when I got the email, it was pretty easy to ask her a couple questions and then figure out where it was happening. And then digging around could find that, yeah, I know my husband's handwriting or prose, how he writes, right? I can see his pictures in there. I know that's him. So it was obvious there was no lie. There was nothing to lie about. It was very true that it was happening. And to me, the only thing to do was to confront it. And not confront it because I needed him to tell me the truth. Confront it because I wanted to know, were we done or not? That's what I really wanted to know, is what is he done done? Is he gone? Is he looking to leave? Period. Right? Like he's over me, because in my mind we had such a strong bond and such great love. If he's gone, I need to know that, because I got to put my big girl pants on and figure out what I'm going to do. So that was really the reason for approaching him right away that evening. I didn't wait. I didn't hem and haw. I didn't feel like I needed to talk to my girlfriends to hear their opinions. I felt like I needed to ask the question. And I said, so are you wanting to end it? And he said, I'm 1 foot out the door. That was exactly his response to me. I'm 1 foot out the door. And I said, well, does that mean that you're willing to work on it to get it back in the door? Do you want to fix us for it to, for you to want to be here and be loyal and committed to us again? And he paused for a millisecond and said, yes, I want to do that.
All right, very good. So we're going to talk more about that in a second, but I just want to quickly talk directly to the people who are listening and watching and invite them into the conversation. So when this episode goes live, I encourage you to join us on social media where I will post a discussion question and you can interact with me and other members of the community and maybe even Anne if she's in there interacting. So if you're not already following us on social media, those links are in the show notes and all those places, but you can join us in the conversation, which is super fun. And now let's pick back up. Okay, so what I want to talk now, because I'm curious about it. I think that I can imagine, and maybe other people can imagine, what we would feel like to sort of relive your experience of getting this email. But one of the things I'm curious about is transitioning and moving from that moment of discovery and then into the work and the intentional work and decision of what do we do next and how are we going to do that. So share with us, you shared a little bit about that moment when you got the email. You say your heart sank, but share with us a little bit more about how it felt to experience that, because it's a surprise. You were not looking for this.
No, I thought we were good, right? And honestly, the word I now use in hindsight, which is kind of for me now, it's a deadly word in a relationship with a partner. The word I would use is that we were comfortable. And I think comfortable leads to kind of assumptions in a romantic relationship. Like, if I wear the same sweatpants and underwear and don't wash my hair for a week, we're comfortable with each other. And that might be an extreme example, but I think some women can relate to that. We just get.
I don't know any women who cannot relate to the occasional time in our life where we're like, these are the pants this week.
Or the my body changing, and I'm a critic of myself all the time, right? Or things that just he's going to be comfortable with because I'm dealing with it. And we're not talking about it. We're not having conversations about it. We're not necessarily talking about how it's impacting both of us and us together. We're just comfortable in making assumptions about what that means. And so, in the, I was shocked. I thought we were good. And he's saying, we're not good. We're not good. I mean, that's ultimately what that one foot out the door was. He was looking for romance and love again, and that wasn't happening in the comfort.
I get it. Well, there is, I mean, there's all kinds of discussions, as not something that I would call myself an expert in, but there's all kinds of articles and headlines about, long relationships and the difference between that beginning, like sort of romance phase, and then what to expect. And then there's many, many people who have all kinds of opinions and thoughts and ideas about what a long relationship might look like. And it's really different. It's really
Is.
different, from house to house, from culture to culture, all of those things. But I think that one of the common things that we, and this is not just true of romantic relationships, I don't think, but like first few days in a new job is very exciting and unpredictable. And when you stick around for a while, you're in the routine.
Yeah.
You're in
Well,
the
and
routine.
I don't want comfort to feel like a routine. I don't know that that's how I would describe it. Even he would say when we first met, he would say to men, he goes to a barbershop every week. I say he spends more hair money on his hair than I do in a month. But he shakes all the guys' hands, he says hello, and relationships with a partner will come up. And he says to them, you have to remember that you're still dating somebody even if you're committed. And he says, I forgot that. So not only did I, we both had our own part in it. Please don't get it wrong. I'm not saying I was to blame. I'm not saying he was to blame. I think we both had our own part in what was happening and keeping us in this space. And he admits he stopped dating me. He stopped showing up to say, I need her to know I choose her every day too, which that cycle, that circle can be scary in a relationship, whatever it is. And again, if you, to your point, no judgment to me. If you are fine in a relationship where you're kind of separate but hold a household together and that works for you, great. I find with a lot of women that I work with, though, in some way they still want a romantic partnership. They still want to feel loved with that person they chose to make that commitment to.
Once upon a time, many, many years ago, I was in a wedding. So bridesmaid in a wedding, and young kids, and definitely in a season of life that was very busy, not a lot of pre-planning or things in my relationship. And then the homily, the pastor, and during the wedding, the presentation, he was giving the homily, he said, he's like, never forget what you did today. You got up, you got dressed, you thought about how you'd look for your bride and groom, you put on your rings, and you showed up with your best foot forward. And it was one of those things. I remember looking across the room at my husband and the kids, and he was looking back at me like we both heard it. Heard it. I thought, okay, that was an unexpected message. This is not what I was expecting to hear today. But it's always we need the reminders. It's always a helpful reminder for anybody. And I think you can extend that for people who are not in romantic relationships. I think you can extend it to friendships.
I
Like it's
agree.
like to not forget how you show up and to pay attention to it. So one of the things, so let's see if this is a good question. There's always a chance that I'll ask a question that's maybe not great. But one of the like sort of discussion questions that I have had come up over the years with my girlfriends and my friends, I would put this in the context of like, late night in the dorm room kind of thing, or maybe with girlfriends. I was trying to figure out where it was. But one of those questions with both relationships and then also with sometimes with kids is that question of it's like, hey, if I knew something that was happening in your life, would you want me to tell you, like, as your friend? Like, is it, would you want me to tell you? Because there are people like, oh no, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. And this was a discussion. So that had me thinking. And I was wondering, did you happen to know this person that sent you this? And then did that impact your friendship with the person who sent you the message?
Yeah, so well, I did a lot of speaking early in my career. Part of the way I got the word out is I actually started a networking group here in the Bay Area. I had the largest nighttime one in the city, 200 women every month. I had the largest lunchtime one here in the East Bay, about 150 women a month. I'd lead those. I'd speak on occasion. I'd invite speakers, but that would get me speaking gigs, right? It would get me out on platforms in terms of that. So I was pretty well known, I would say all the way down to San Diego. As a matter of fact, somebody connected with me when I was did a keynote in 2012 back in San Diego. So these women knew me, they followed me, many of them had done work with me, that kind of thing. And this was one of those women who fell into that circle with her choosing to tell me. Again, I place no judgment. In her heart, she felt it was the right thing to do. What do I believe somewhere though in my heart, especially as I was evolving as a woman and learning what intuition really is, and that, and now I talk about accept versus understand. A lot of times, our intuition as women is already telling us something's off, something's wrong, and we have to accept our intuition as the truth versus understand, which means now I need proof. Do I need proof if my gut's already telling me? Probably not, right? If I have a healthy self-love, I'm going to be able to say, I'm going to trust my intuition. And I'm going to say to a friend, a partner, something's off in our relationship. And I'm not asking you what, you're doing. I'm saying, do you feel it too? And do we want to work on it so it doesn't feel off? Do we want to improve it in terms of that? So were we close to begin with? No, in terms of that. But did it end the relationship? No.
I was just curious as it came up, because it's
Yeah,
one of those
it is.
things. My experience with this has more to do with kids and stepkids, when like other adults will call and be like, "Hey, by the way, I saw something. Do you want me to tell
Yeah.
you?" And that can be a tough call to make for the person who's making the call, for sure, because you just never
Yeah.
know how the other
Yeah,
person's
with
going to
grown
react.
people, is it really your business or not,
Oh, a
right?
hundred
That's kind of
percent.
the debate.
And we tend to we sometimes put pressure on ourselves that we're going to be judged based on how other people see our things. So it feels like judgment of ourselves, when it can also just be, "Hey, I saw this. Here's a piece of
Right.
information. Do with it what you
And that's
want."
pretty what she said. She said, I was online, right, looking, and I was just like, I think this is your husband. It wasn't, there was no judgment. There was no, he's a shitty human being and is cheating on you. There was nothing, bad about what she said. And for all she knew, again, to your point, we could be in an open relationship,
Well, that's the other
right?
thing.
I
I
mean,
don't,
you don't know. There's
that
all
is the
kinds of
other thing.
relationships out there, as you said, right?
100%. Or it could be like, 100%,
Yeah.
absolutely. You could misunderstand the situation. People can have a very different, I think of all the hilarious situation where we misjudge what's happening. We think that somebody's a girlfriend and they're a cousin or a best friend or
Yes.
whatever, or a coworker. You just,
Yeah.
and also, it's more public now probably than it has been at other times in at least my lifetime, and more knowledgeable. But really, we just never know what's happening in other people's houses. You just
Yeah.
never, ever, ever know. And
True.
so, absolutely. Okay, so we touched on this at the beginning, but now we're going to come back to it. Your story is that you decided to stay together and be in the relationship, and notably, you guys were able to make that happen together. So let's talk about, because that's not an assumption either. You could have gone to him and said, "Do you want to do the workout?" And he would, it could have been like, "No." So let's talk about what the work was. Like, what do you think, looking back, it's been some time, like, what are some of the things that you worked on, and why do you think they made a difference?
Yeah. So at that point, we both agreed to putting very clear intention into the work, and deciding what that would look like as a couple and reach agreement on it. So first thing was forgiveness, because and forgiveness comes with the caveat that trust will be rebuilt. I think people want to reverse that. I'm not going to trust you, right? You got to prove your trust, then I'll forgive you. And I believe in forgiveness, which means I release, right, this. And, that gives me the right, though, still to ask questions if I need to, with a non-defensive reaction, that kind of thing. So the forgiveness, the apology, all of that right at the beginning. And then we made decisions about what it looked like for us. Therapy was not a choice for us.
Okay.
For him, he had had a very negative experience with therapy,
Fair enough.
with the baby mama, just kind of feeling like the therapist kind of sided with the woman, wasn't kind of equal play in therapy. So fair enough, right? Didn't want to do
Yep.
that. So, I have a master's degree in psychology, and I've been doing this self-love work for all these years. So we kind of came up with our own thoughts. So first thing we did is we created a weekly date night. And
Okay.
the date night was very important in the sense that we did go out in public, and we would sit out in public. Obviously we'd
Oh,
sit at a
that's
bar.
actually a pretty big deal. You clearly defined what it meant to have a date.
Yes.
Because very nice. 'Cause
We
and that can
scheduled it.
change. That can change
Yes.
during a relationship, yeah.
And not dating can happen too, right?
Yeah.
So, and part of date night, the part of the reason for going out in public was that our fear was if we were having the discussion at home, the fight would start. And, because you feel
Oh.
safe to get emotional and to release. And that's when you say things you don't want to say, and you go three steps backwards, right, after you went five steps forward. And there's hurt in what can come out when you're fighting. So we knew if we were in public, we wouldn't fight with each other.
That's like breaking up with someone in a public place. It's like, I'm gonna
Yeah.
invite you out because you're not gonna make a scene.
It's going to be polite. We're, you
Yes.
know, it's going to be polite, right? And the next thing that we added to that, though, was intentionally, so we would talk about stuff, we added what we called a date night question.
Okay.
And he had to come up with one, and I had to come up with one. It could be any question you wanted to ask. It could be about the situation. It could be how you feel about our communication. It could be, right, what's one thing you think you could do better in the relationship? There was no holds barred on the question you wanted to ask. But the rule was, is if you asked the question, you also had to answer your own question.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. I can see that.
Right?
So, and you came up with that just based on your experience and what you guys
And
wanted.
he
That's actually,
agreed.
we got at one point in my, I was a stepmom before I was a mom. So I also had, was dealing with the stepkids and things. And at one point we were given an assignment similar to that from a therapist. It was like a scheduled time. And the entire purpose of that was for me to ask questions and clear the schedule. So it was a little bit different because it was like Amy gets to show up and ask anything. And the rule was you have to like answer, but I didn't have to answer my own questions. But it was, this was a lot of this was real
Different.
calendar type stuff. It's like, what is happening on Thursday? What is happening on Saturday? So yeah, but I love that you guys did that. That's a really, really strong talking point. And to have to be willing to answer the question yourself means you're going to think about it. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
you have to be able to say, yeah, I really want this question from him, or I want this question from Anne. Am I willing to answer it?
Right.
Right? And
Yes.
am I willing to be open and vulnerable and give the answer honestly? And there were some tough ones, trust me. There were times when both of us left that date night feeling hurt,
Okay.
yet that vulnerability, that realness made us closer again, right?
Yeah.
And I think the questions might have started out safe, then they got harder,
Yeah.
right? Because we felt safe. Then they got harder, and that's where that discomfort came. But then they moved more into the joy and the things we want to do with each other, and the recreation of the relationship, and the reason we're staying, and the bigger questions that really mattered in rebuilding love with each other. And I don't think we didn't love each other when that happened. We just forgot to share it with each other more openly.
Yeah, and there are several points I think in long relationships, not they don't have to be intimate relationships, where there's a choice to be made whether or not you're going to continue to focus on the previous version of the relationship. You're just going to continue
Yes.
what was, Or if you're going to be intentional about creating something new. And
Right.
so there are some of those that we walk through pretty well. It's one of the things that I teach people who are step parents and who are coming into blended families. I say, if you can make the shift, don't try and fit yourself into that family that existed before you got there, but create the new one that includes you. But where I got that sort of method was looking at things like retirement, like and graduation, where it's like, okay, well, this is over. That's done. What are you going to do next?
Yeah, it doesn't
And like,
define you
what,
anymore.
right? Redefine, giving yourself permission to intentionally design and talk about the next thing. But I think if nobody tells you and gives you a framework for that or suggests it, it's less likely you'll come up with it on your own. So, and that's what it sounds like you guys were doing is like, what are we doing? What do we want to do?
And it's really evolved in our relationship. You know, I, as you were talking, one of those major things women go through, which I'm way past it now. I'm super menopausal woman.
A
You know,
sign
and
of success. It does, it ends. The perimenopause
it
ends and we live on.
does end. Yet, I was very excited for menopause, honestly. I was like, get outflow out of here. I want freedom in my sex life again. I don't want to have to plan a vacation around it. You know, all these things. Oh, sorry, honey. New Year's isn't happening. You know, whatever that, those things are. I was ready for that freedom. You know, and watching all the crazy fun TV shows of older people in their 70s. You know, getting a freak on. I was ready for that life. And I'll tell you, the day that shut off, everything sexually in my body turned off. I
Oh,
didn't
so
want to.
you really went through like a hormone, rock and
I
roll hor
went through
hor
it.
hormone.
Yeah, so I didn't want to be touched. I didn't have any bit of drive in me whatsoever. And I think, honestly, because we had done so much of this work together and learning how to communicate, Earl now calls it the practice. So Earl's my husband. We don't keep that a secret. We're online. We don't hide. We call it, he calls it now the practice, which is this opportunity to really talk and listen to each other and ask questions and figure out how do we be supportive of each other so that we can stay on a path together, supporting each other as a couple versus separate. And his ability to do that helped us figure out what new romance and sex looks like now than it did when we met when we were 28, because it's not the same. It's not the same for him either. I'm going to tell you, ladies, men go through their own shit too in that department.
I love
Okay.
it.
It's not just us.
I love it. I love it. I love that you guys call it the practice. It reminds me of the way there's an author and speaker, Byron Katie, and she calls her stuff the work. And I think those are good names for those because it's like this, it's not a one-time thing. This is not a quick switch. It's not a flip of the switch, and you should expect to keep at it.
And I think that really touches on, Amy, what you were saying earlier when we were talking about comfort and routine. And I was like, I don't know if I'd say routine yet. I think, and I joke with women now, I'm like, Disney screwed us. There
Oh, I
is
was
no
going to bring. I'm glad,
write-off
yes,
happily
yeah,
ever after, right? That's
right.
not how it works. And it is work. Anybody that wants to be in a committed, loving relationship, it is the practice of getting up every day and doing the work,
Yeah.
right? And that's what we learned through that experience is we both have to put in the work. We both have to put in that effort.
So yeah, so you said in your intake interview, this is one of the things I was absolutely going to ask you because I was so, you said Disney was wrong. And like wrong is in all caps with an exclamation point. And I thought I probably understood what you were talking about, but this is the way the princess movies tend to end with the idea and that, you know, ta-da, marriage, happily
Right off
ever
into the
after. Yeah,
sunset.
all the work is done. Glory, you know, and rainbows and unicorns forever. And, you know, and anybody who's been through the process, even if you have a very, very happy marriage along, I've never met anybody who's like, no, that's not how it goes. That's the party is a party, yay. And then the marriage begins.
Right.
So,
And
yeah.
you may think we're this perfect couple, but you don't know what we go through every day to be that couple. You know what I
Yes,
mean?
I
And I think
do.
that's the, like you said, we can't know what goes on in anybody's home. Yet these couples that we often admire, we don't realize how much work they really are doing and have. I don't know anybody that can be together. We're together almost 30 years to 2027, almost 30 years of being with each other. I don't know anybody that can get 30, 40, 50 years into a relationship and say, oh no, we've never had one fight. We've never had one distrust. We've never had one moment where we're like, I'm out of here, it's over. I think any couple that you really admire will say, yeah, we work on it.
I agree. I mean, there are people who will tell you those things. There are people you will meet in your life and they will say, oh yeah, I've never raised a voice. I just don't know what their tools are for doing that, or if they're actually, they have the same standard of what would make them happy. So, 'cause it, there's, there is one version of not fighting in a relationship, which is just like, if you just decide you're not ever going to fight, and you're like, I'm fine, just never speaking up, then, it does take two people to have a fight. So if you just never engage, but will you be happy that way? That's
If you keep your voice, if you shut your voice down, right? And that's,
Yeah.
and Earl will tell people now, he's like, don't get me wrong. We have disagreements. We have times when we're not in
Yes.
sync. We don't fight a lot anymore, but there's times when we're just out of sync, right? Where we're,
Right.
the
Well,
flow isn't
and
happening.
I've never met anybody who is agrees about absolutely everything. There's going to be even a tiny bit of difference and conflict in any relationship, even if all that is you have a different flavor of ice cream you like for dessert, And so there's, we're not the same people in our family. That's what makes living with other people not always super easy, Like in I'm getting very close to being an empty nester, but in my house, I have a different goal for the thermostat than everybody else I'm related to. Every like I when they leave, I change the thermostat, and that is, and they think I'm banana cakes, Like that's the way that it is. So you guys put in the practice. You built this practice together of coming together, and you did that. You said, and I'll give you a chance to talk about this. You say that you feel like this is the unconventional choice, and not normal. I'd love to give you a chance to talk a little bit more about where that perception comes from it and why it's worth mentioning that it feels like that's not the easy point.
So here I am in my career. I have a master's degree in psychology. I chose to go to a college where there were no grades and no exams. So I had to actually do an internship and build a program. And I went to school up in
Sounds delightful.
Seattle. It was delightful.
Where, no exams and no.
I went to Antioch University.
Oh, is Antioch still around?
I believe so. I still get
Okay.
stuff in the mail, so that makes me believe, I still get the fundraising and the paying and all of that.
I think I know somebody else that went there. And I thought that maybe a decade or so ago they had like a fundraising challenge, but I could be mixing it up with something
Well, and they had
completely different.
satellites, so they might have closed some of their
Oh,
satellites. They're
maybe.
originally in the
Maybe.
Midwest, and they had a satellite, I believe, in LA, but I went to the satellite in Seattle. So maybe that's what happened, is they took some of those down. But so that's where my work on self-esteem and self-love for women started. And so here I am, this woman who people come to my weekend retreats and my masterminds and this work with me and do one-on-one work with me. And my experience has been that women, when they have what they feel is a betrayal, that the MO is you leave a bad man. Once a cheater, always a cheater,
That is
right?
a
That's
thing some
kind of,
people say. Yes.
yes, that is a thing that people will say. And so I think I built some fear around it in making the choice to say, and the universe will provide you proof if you keep looking for it. And I decided at one of my retreats with VIPs who, honestly, I would say had been working with me for years. I knew their families, they knew mine, all of this stuff happened. And I decided to tell this story.
Okay.
And one woman actually quit working with me and ended the friendship. And I
Yeah.
was, hurt by that, and felt that shame for staying, and was told later through the gossip mill that that's why she felt that I wasn't a good role model or example to women. And I've been able to take that full circle of I want women to be in a place where they will never feel judged on the choice that they make.
I think that's
Right?
a good goal.
Yeah. And so choosing to stay and make it work, choosing to leave, right? Whatever that choice is,
Choosing
you
to marry
have.
someone who already had kids with somebody else,
Yeah.
any of those things.
Yeah. We weren't from a generation where that wasn't cool either, right? Any of
Right,
those
as
kind
if
of.
it was a new thing in this
Yeah.
generation, as if there haven't
Choosing
been step
not.
parents since, the beginning of relationship.
Yeah. Choosing not to get married and be a
Right, choosing
committed
not to get
couple.
married, as if that's some sort of
Yeah.
un non or choosing not to have kids, which is like almost
Yeah.
half of the world, and yet we treat them like
Yeah.
they've done some sort of crazy thing.
Yeah. You're going to regret it. I used to be told that,
Oh
right?
my
You're going to
gosh,
regret it. And I said, no, I don't even have a tick, let alone a talk. I think it's probably a good
yeah.
idea. I don't have kids. Okay. So I think I'm okay. I'm okay with that one. So yeah, it's the uncommon story, but as I think, and that's why when, I wanted Earl's permission, of course, to tell this story because it's his too, and chose with you to do that. I realized that if some woman is feeling that way, shamed because she's staying, that it's okay. You don't have to be feel shame because of that. You made the choice that was right for you,
That was
and
right for you. And one of the things I say just about my step parent journey, which is very similar, is that I'll add on to it, is that I don't minimize the pressure that you feel from what you think people are going to, because people, it's the reality of the human experience in my, people
yes.
will make assumptions about you. Some of them will be right, some of them are wrong. Some people will make the judgment to tell you what they think about the choices they think you've made, even if they're wrong. And you will have to deal with it. So the fear is justified, right? That's a real experience. Some people will do that. But I think it's so important to say that it's and to bring it out. The more that we talk about it and the more stories we share, the more people can hear it
Yes.
and know that they're not alone or that it exists. It's one of the really, really, really great things about being alive in 2025 is that really small marginalized groups and really just special. If you are a collector of purple playing cards, you can probably find a group somewhere to identify. And that's really nice, but it comes with all the other stuff that modern
Yeah.
time comes with too.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, the
absolutely.
secrets are harder to keep.
They sure are.
It's funny, is the old saying used to be only two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
Oh, right. I wonder,
Yeah.
we haven't
But
updated that.
now it's what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and on Facebook and on TikTok and
Okay,
on,
there we
like,
go. That's a very good update. I love that update because it is a very real challenge now.
Yes.
I was talking to somebody earlier today and I was saying, you can't even walk down the street, without somebody's door cam filming you, whether you know it or want it or not.
Yeah.
All right, so in a minute we're going to do the final fun questions, but I want to give you a chance to, you've talked a lot about the work that you do with clients, but to directly tell people what you do, how you want people to reach out and find you after this interview if they want to.
I love that. So I love people reaching out and finding me. I mentioned already, I'm not much of a secret in my life. I'm pretty open book. As terms of social, my number one place, and I just chose to be at the place that I like to be, is Facebook. And my name is the fastest way to find me, whether it's a group or just following me from my profile. So I'm perfectly okay that. I'm okay with people private messaging me. I know there's the great debate about that, yet sometimes you need a private conversation with somebody. So I have no problem with that whatsoever. And Evanston, my name as well, .com will get you to my website. I am a well, a master's degree in psychology, and I'm a certified master performance coach, which is really about how are you getting past your own gunk to live the life you want, find your voice, your purpose, your passion. I run self-love evolution retreats for women, which is my biggest passion. So easy to find and look up, and happy to talk with anybody.
All right, fantastic. And you have a book.
I
The
do.
Self-Love Evolution for Women, which is the same title as the retreats, I think.
I did. So I've been running the retreat 10 years, and I've had people for a long time encouraging the book. And I always say, oh, I'm not a writer, I'm not an author. Well, technology has made that a lot easier these
Yeah.
days. Again, if you move into technology, even this year, you can transcribe why we're talking,
Right.
right? And get a transcription anymore. So I turned the basically retreat and these levels of the self-love evolution that are in there into a book and a journal. And there's five layers to self-love that I talk about with my work from Antioch. And the expert gives you those excerpt gives you those five layers, free gift to anybody who wants to get it on your page there. Just to kind of get you started thinking about that and where you're at in your evolution and the things that you want to work on.
Yes, very good. So I will recap the special offer, which you mentioned, so that everybody's got it. It's an excerpt of the book, and it gives you the opportunity to look at the five layers of self-love with some questions to start the journey. So there's a link, and the link is in the show notes. It's on YouTube. The easiest way to redeem the link and to get all the links for any episode, including this one, is to be a subscriber to my email community at imperfectadulting.com. And the reason it's easy is just because then it comes straight to your email box and you can click on the link, which is just great. So I always say that. All right, Anne, are you ready for the final questions?
I am.
All right, very, very good. Okay. What was the last thing that you bought or purchased? Can be big, can be small. And was it for you or was it for somebody else? And so I guess
Well,
it has to be willing to share it publicly. So like, if you bought something you
yeah.
don't want to share, then the thing before that.
Okay. Well, what's crazy thing is just as we were starting today, Amy, they walked up with a package. It's at my door.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure what's in it. So that could tell you something about the kind of shopper that
Is so funny. That's such a modern situation. And we get, I don't know, we get little previews now of what we order. And we've got all these kids and they're ordering things. And so sometimes you'll see a picture of it and you're like, what is that? And where is that? And then you realize that's not here. And I didn't order it. I just get to pay the bill. So very good.
And the previous one that just came, which is kind of fun, it's a charcoal face mask. It just came yesterday in the mail. Earl and I do facials together twice a week. So it's kind of
Oh,
one of those couple things we do.
fantastic.
So.
I love that. All right. So today in 2025, if you are looking for what used to be called local news, things like local events, information about your community, restaurants, sales, things like that, where are you these days going to find that information? Are you a subscriber to a newspaper? Do you have an email newsletter that you follow? Do you look it up in Google? Do you call a friend? Do you watch TV? How do you find that information?
My husband.
You ask your husband, he's the information
So
source.
he runs our Instagram,
Okay.
which is Temple Terroir Organics. We named our garden Temple
Okay.
Terroir. But he follows everything local that we love. So he follows music, event places, restaurants, distilleries, wineries, you name it, right? All the different things that might be going on in the Bay. And he just keeps up with that way and then says, oh, hey, it's First Friday. Do you want to go? Or it's, SF Beer Week. Which ones are we hitting? He keeps up with that. And then we talk about them.
That's a beautiful arrangement. I love that. You don't have to worry about it.
I
Exactly. All right.
don't. I
Very
don't
good.
have to hold the calendar. Well, I do hold the calendar. I'm the master of the calendar. Yeah, he's looking at what's coming up.
And then you put it on the calendar and you keep track of things. Okay, that's a good divide of good division of household responsibilities. All right. So what is something that other people, just other human beings, do that sometimes bugs you and you're not afraid to claim it out loud?
Can I have more than one?
You can. I mean, you don't have to. You can share as many. You can, yeah. So,
I really get irritated with people that use their blinker all the time
okay.
or don't. And technically, people, it's called a signal. It's supposed to signal what you're doing in your car. So if you never turn it off, it's not signaling anything to anybody around you,
Yep.
right? And if you never turn it on, you're not signaling to people that you're doing something. So that's one that's a real pet peeve for
There's
me.
a joke. We use it in Miami, but I think other cities also use it too. That, like, people do not use their signal or their indicator here in Miami because it's showing a sign of weakness as a driver. You got to keep your edge. Be surprised if people. So we're famous for our terrible drivers down here, and it's deserved. It's a well-deserved criticism in my community. All right. All right. That's it, Anne Evanston. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. It was great.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.